Kitavo el haaretz asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha nachala virishta viashavta ba.
OU Israel presents.
In. Welcome.
Shalom, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. And this show is for Parsha Ki Tavo. Special week for me and my family 30 years ago, to almost the day. We came on Aliyah, arrived in Israel on Wednesday, the 16th of September, which was the 17th of Elul. This year, both the 16th of September and the 17th of Elul are tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, and the Wednesday, of course, was yesterday. So we celebrate the Wednesday between Ki Teitzei, when you shall go out of the United States, and Ki Tavo, when you will come to the land of Israel. And Wednesday in Yiddish is Mittwoch, middle of the week. So I always felt very much special about the Wednesday between these two sedras, and this year the actual dates in both the Jewish and the secular calendar come out only 2 days later. Doesn't always work out that neatly, but it does this year, and it's 30 years. I can only thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank God for allowing me to come here. I don't need to think about should I have come earlier. I didn't, whenever. And I'm here, and Baruch Hashem, 30 years later, we came with a little almost 5-year-old daughter and a 1.5-year-old daughter, toddler. We've added another daughter since. They have provided us with grandchildren. Baruch Hashem, Kein Yirbu, and my eldest daughter, the one who actually remembers a little bit about being in the States, has continually thanked me for bringing her an Aliyah, not asking her opinion at the time, and she is very thankful to be here. She has a lovely family, and so do all three girls. And my thanks to God has no limit. So that's my celebration this week, recording and first broadcast the 16th of Elul, Tet Zion Elul, 5771, the year which is coming to its end in less than 2 weeks. It will be Rosh Hashanah, and the opening of the show was the melody, the traditional melody that introduces Ma'ariv, Arvit, the evening service, which means it's the very, very first melody of Rosh Hashanah and of Yom Kippur, and it sort of put a mood onto this show. I'm a little, out of sync with the calendar, since this week's Torah Tidbits for Parshat Ki Tavo had already a supplement, a pull-out section for Rosh Hashanah. This gives people enough lead time to look it over and get ready. it also allows me to put in Yom Kippur next week in Yiras Hashem, and then the one before Yom Kippur, which will also cover Sukkot, will have the Sukkot pullout. So that's the technical side of it. But my mindset is Rosh Hashanah, which is a good thing because it's only less than 2 weeks away. And we'll see what we get to during the show, whether we focus on Ki Tavo or also on the upcoming Rosh Hashanah. Next week, Yiras Hashem certainly will be more in line with Rosh Hashanah. Business, or prayer, as we would say, Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihyena aznecha kashuvot v'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmoria Adonai mi'amod ki imacha ha-salicha l'ma'an tivarei. Kiviti Adonai kivata nafshi v'lidvaro v'chalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishomerim l'boker shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut. Zehu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya ha-omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha. Hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha u'me'afela l'ora u'mishibud l'geula hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariv v'nomar amein. Actually, I should have started the show with a big apology for not having a show last week. I certainly was ready. I had half the show recorded and no way to save a file. My trial version of a certain program had expired. My previous program, which I've used for quite a number of years, stopped working, and a new program that I had I couldn't handle. It was too complicated and needed a lot of relearning. So I am now on a download of a trial version of Adobe Audition, and it's similar enough to the Cool Edit 96 and then 2000 that I have used in the past that I know how to handle it more or less. However, I'm having a little trouble with the microphone, and if you hear a hiss in the background, which you undoubtedly do, it's because I haven't figured out how to record on a level high enough for the microphone, and therefore I'm amplifying, and amplifying I think has created or exaggerated the hiss, and I have a hiss reducer, but I don't know how to work it here. So please accept and tolerate the hiss in the background, and I'll try to get my act together for the next show. Meanwhile, we're looking for a solution, because I only have a 30-day trial period on this, and I'm not sure if I'm going to buy the program, but it's a possibility. Okay, that's the background, and now, before we settle into Ki Tavo, let me play a track. I think it is Ohad. Happens to be the name of one of my sons-in-law, but that's not the performer. Ohad from his album. The song will put us into a Shabbat mood, a different melody for Shalom Aleichem.
Melech Malchel בזמן החיון ממלך מלכי המלוכים אוי אוי הקודש בודכו שולוין מלך מלכי השורס מלכי עליון ממלך מלכי המלוכים אוי אוי הקודש בודכו יחם לשולוי מלאכי השולוי מלאכי עליון איי איי ממלך אוי מלאכי המלוכים אוי הקודש ברוך הוא יחם לשולוי מלאכי השולוי מלאכי עליון איי איי ממלך אוי מלאכי המלוכים אוי הקודש
Hayaki Tavo El Haaretz, when it will come to pass. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the generation that will be going across the Jordan River shortly. And he says, when you will come to the land which God has given you, you shall settle it and dwell there. This is not counted as the command to live in Eretz Yisrael. There are other verses with similar wording which are pointed to, but this certainly is one of the many verses which indicate to us Ritzon Hashem, God's will. God wants the Jewish people to live in Eretz Yisrael. I've said this many, many, many times on this show. I've written about it in Torah Tidbits. I speak about it all the time. It started way, way back at the first prophecy to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, where God says, I heard the cries of the people in Egypt. I will go down into that land to take them out and bring them to the land flowing with milk and honey. One verse, God's plan, God's desire is revealed over and over again in the Torah. And this is regardless of whether living in Israel is counted as a mitzvah among the 613, or it's a super mitzvah that encompasses other things, or it's a concept. Right now, that's not the issue that I'm bringing up. I am mentioning it as Ritzon Hashem. When you go into the land that God gave you, you will settle it and dwell there. And then comes the mitzvah. You will take the first fruits of the ground. And our tradition teaches us that it's referring to the seven species of wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates, from which first fruits are taken. put into a basket, as the Torah describes, and brought to the Beit HaMikdash, presented to the Kohen, who puts them on the side of the Mizbeach, the altar in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. And then we have a very unusual second mitzvah within the mitzvah of bringing Bikurim. What I mean is that back in Parsha Mishpatim in Shemot, repeated again in Ki Tisa in the book of Shemot, we had the command to take the first fruits and bring them to the Mikdash. Reshit Bikurei Admatcha Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha. You shall bring the first fruits to the house of God, to the temple. Here, many parshiot later, when you come in to Israel, to Eretz Yisrael that God has promised, you shall take the first fruits. This is not counted here among 613. It already has been counted. What is counted here is what follows. You will come to the Kohen in your time, and you will say to him, I declare today to Hashem, your God, that I have come to the land that Hashem swore to our forefathers to give us. The Kohen then takes the basket from your hand and places it before the altar of Hashem, your God. Then you shall call out and say before Hashem, your God, Arami Oved Avi, etc. We won't go into the details now. Suffice it here to say that there is a declaration which the Bikurim, first fruits bringer, declares at the temple, explaining or reviewing the history of the Jewish people from the Exodus, or from actually going down to Egypt in the first place, and enslavement, and being redeemed and taken out, and being brought to the land of Israel, the land that God has promised to us via our forefathers. That declaration is not only a detail of the Bikurim bringing mitzvah, it is a separate mitzvah. This is what I want to spend some time on now. It, to me, was a process, a train of thought that I must have had in the past, but in this week it came out really to the forefront of my mind, where you have a mitzvah of bringing Bikurim. We have many mitzvot in the Torah which have many details. The details do not make separate mitzvot. They are part of the mitzvah. Here is a noteworthy exception. Mitzvah, one of the 613, to bring Bikurim. Mitzvah, one of the 613, that when you bring Bikurim, you shall make the declaration of the Bikurim bringer. Think about that for a moment, and I will suggest where it has taken me in my thought process. We have a Talmudic principle, which I've mentioned in the past. It's one of the 13 Talmudic principles which are links between the written word and the oral law, helping us understand the process of oral law and how it links back to the written word. One of those principles, one of those rules, is davar sheyatza min haklal, something that is singled out from its general category. In this example, Bikurim, from the general category of mitzvot. Lo lelamed al atzmo yatza does not come only to teach us about it itself, ela lelamed al haklal kulo yatza, but rather it comes to teach us something that's to be applied to the entire rule of the entire category. And what I am suggesting is not necessarily an accurate halachic application or Talmudic application of this principle. It's using the spirit of this principle to make a point. That point being that even though almost all the other mitzvot which we have, we do not have a requirement to make a declaration that accompanies them, nonetheless, this rule for Bikurim, this standalone, separate mitzvah for Bikurim, should teach us that that idea of accompanying the performance of a mitzvah with a verbal declaration is a significant and important thing in the fulfillment of mitzvot. Sure enough, we've got plenty examples of that in what generations and generations already have shown us to do. For example, the night, each night of 49 nights that we count the Omer, many people precede the bracha and the counting of the Omer with a Hineni Muchan and Mezuman. I choose this as an example because many people sing it. Hineni Muchan Umzuman, Hineni Muchan Umzuman. On that off-key note, hold that thought. We'll be right back. Are listening to Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Ki Tavo. We ended the first half on the beginning of a concept. I'm trying to get to a point, but it's a process in my own mind, and it's taking us a while. The intro to this second half, as well as the intro to the first half, as well as a clip which I will play shortly, comes from an album which consists of, I think the album is called A Good Year, and it has medleys, very beautifully done, for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is the one we're listening to now, for Sukkot, for Shavuot, for Pesach, Purim, Chanukah, Hallel. I don't remember exactly all the tracks, but it's a very, very enjoyable album, and these particular Rosh Hashanah snips are mood setters, and as I mentioned earlier, I'm in that mood, we should all be in that mood, and music often helps in that department. Getting back to the train of thought, we have many examples where what evolved, and I'm not talking about requirements now, I'm talking about an evolution of Jewish practice in many different communities, not without those who objected to these things, but a concept of verbalizing in some kind of passage, usually before the performance of a mitzvah, sometimes after the performance of a mitzvah, different from what I've described about the declaration of Bikurim, where we take the opportunity for ourselves and for anyone listening to us, which could be our families, it could be other people in shul, whatever, where we give a perspective and a focus and a broadening of a sense of what a mitzvah is about, and It is not an essential part of the mitzvah halachically, but I believe it's an important part of the mitzvah in many of these occasions. It's very relatively simple to get up in the morning during the week for a man, put on his talis and tefillin, say the requisite brachot, which are required, and not say any of the other passages quoting psukim. Again, I want to emphasize, not everybody likes this idea, but obviously many authorities have favored the idea, and it has become a time-honored custom in many mitzvot to package the mitzvah with various recitations and meditations to give a fuller dimension to it. The Bikurim bringer, going back to him, could have been told, fill your basket with your first fruits, bring it to the Kohen, present it to the Kohen, make a blessing on it, put it by the Mizbeach, bow before God, and leave. Instead, not as a suggestion, more as an obligation, a mitzvah, a requirement, make the declaration of the Bikurim bringer so that you can put it into a perspective for yourself. And if you look at the verses in the beginning portion of Ki Tavo, you have there a very important dimension to that mitzvah, but to all mitzvot. And that's the dimension of joy, simcha, where the Torah packages the mitzvah of Bikurim with this declaration, and the declaration includes, after the saying of the declaration, with a supplemental command, you say, you shall be happy with all that God has given you. That's what the Bikurim represent. I am a farmer. I grow grapes. Look at these grapes. This reflects a small portion of my bumper crop, and I thank God for being in Israel, and I thank God for the fertility of the ground and the blessed rain and for the harvest. It's a joyous occasion, and it's an occasion that joy is shared with others. That is the mitzvah, or that is part of the mitzvah. Slight digression, but maybe not really. The Baal Shem Tov was known to have said, Sechar mitzvah, simchat mitzvah. The reward for doing a mitzvah is the joy that you have in performing the mitzvah. It's a very special thing. And if you just go through the motions, you sometimes miss that. If you can package it, and the Torah, this is the way I'm looking at it now, doesn't have to tell you to do this every single time. It has to show you how it's done in Bikurim, the example, and challenge you to put any mitzvah that you perform into this broader perspective. When Bikurim are not left on their own, but they are linked to being in Egypt and coming out of Egypt and witnessing miracles and crossing the sea and receiving the Torah and wandering in the wilderness and coming to the land, it's meant to enhance the significance of the mitzvah of first fruits. We have the ability to enhance the significance of the mitzvot which we perform by mental thought, kavanah, feeling in the heart, verbalizing, teaching, packaging. Not bad idea before you light Hanukkah candles to have your family gathered and to say something about Hanukkah candles. And to say we are about to perform a very special mitzvah and talk about it. Not a requirement, but a very, very prudent suggestion. And I feel that the Bikurim mitzvah of the declaration is the inspiration to enhance and package mitzvot in general in this way. Take this opportunity, since we're talking about Bikurim, as I do in Parshat Shlach when we talk about Chet HaMeraglim and several other times. The Arizal has said that Bikurim, the mitzvah of bringing first fruits, is the tikkun, the repair for Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies. The spies brought fruits from the land of Israel. The Bikurim bringer brings fruits from the land of Israel. And the spy said, look at these beautiful fruits. It's a lovely place to visit, but we wouldn't want to live there. And that was a terrible, terrible thing to say. The Bikurim bringer brings fruits, the same fruits that the Meraglim brought, and declares, thank God, I am here. That God brought me here, and I am thrilled and delighted to be in Eretz Yisrael. Exactly the opposite if the Meraglim were guilty of Motzi Diba Ra'ah Al Ha'aretz, speaking bad of the land, then the Bikurim bringer is the opposite. He speaks well of the land of Israel. And therefore, among all the other mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, the mitzvot that have to do with the land, it is Bikurim that the Arizal says is the tikkun, the repair for the sin of the spies. Rav Menachem Zemba, Hashem Yikom Damo, from the Warsaw Ghetto, pointed out the following, which is a very beautiful demonstration of the truth of what the Arizal said. The Torah speaks of three fruits that Meraglim brought. Pomegranate, grapes, of course, that famous picture of the Meraglim carrying this large cluster of grapes, and figs. The Mishnah in Bikurim says, How does one go about bringing Bikurim? He goes into his field and he sees, oh, here's an example, grapes that are ripening, figs that are ripening, pomegranate that are ripening. Exactly the same three fruits. This Rav Menachem Zemba Hashem Yikom Domo sees as a proof, or a demonstration at least, to the point that the Arizal is making. My point is not just to relate this, but of course to say that Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies, is alive and well today, sadly and unfortunately. We have Jews who visit Israel, who go back to wherever they came from, and they speak to their family and friends, and they say, beautiful place to visit. Oh, they are building all the time, and they even have a light rail in Jerusalem, and this and that and the other, but who wants to live there? Too hard to live there. A land that eats up its inhabitants. All of those things that the Meraglim said are being said by good, fine, upstanding Jews, as the Meraglim were. What we have to aspire for is not to perpetuate Chet HaMeraglim, but to aspire towards the mitzvah of Bikurim and all that it stands for. And what it stands for is not just the fruit, just like with the Meraglim it wasn't just the fruit. It stands for V'samachta b'chol hatov, and you shall rejoice in all the good asher natan lecha Hashem Elokecha ulveitecha, that God has given you and your household. Atav ha'levi v'ager asher b'kirbecha, all Jews have to fulfill this mitzvah. This concept of simcha comes back in a very poignant way later in this parsha. Let me get there by a couple of steps first. After this opening portion of Bikurim and a small portion that follows on what's called Vidui Maaser, the Torah gets to continue what it started back in Parshat Re'eh in speaking about the brachot and the klalot, the blessings and the curses, the ones that would be pronounced at a ceremony to take place between Har Gerizim and Har Eval after entrance into the land. But the Torah is extensive now about how these things are to be spelled out. The blessings are beautiful, the curses, on the other hand, are horrifying. The curses are elaborated upon more than the blessings in order to drive home the point. It's, as I've always said, a simple deal with God. V'hoya im shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, if you will listen to God's voice, lishmor la'asot et kol mitzvotav, to do, to hear, understand, and do all of His mitzvot, then things will be great. We will have all of the blessings that are mentioned here. Baruch ata ba'ir, baruch ata basadeh, blessed are you in your homes, in your fields and in your cities and your fields. The fruit of your womb, the fruit of the ground, the proliferation of your animals, your food basket, everything will be good. And sad, and you will have the upper hand over your enemies, etc., etc., and many nice etc. But then the Torah gets to V'hoya im lo tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha. If it'll come to pass that you won't hearken to God's voice, lishmor la'asot et kol mitzvotav v'chukotav asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. Same or very similar language. Then will come upon you all of the opposites of the blessings. Arur atabair va'arur atabasadeh. Cursed in your cities and cursed in your fields. I don't even want to get into the rest of it. What I do want to focus on is one aspect of the whole tochacha, this whole divine reproach. The Torah continues, all these curses will come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you will not have hearkened to the voice of Hashem your God to observe his commandments and decrees that he commanded you. But then it continues, why will all this happen? Because you did not serve Hashem your God amid gladness and goodness of heart when everything was abundant. Tachat Asher lo avadita et Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvetuv levav merov kol. You did not serve God with joy. There's an implication here that not only are the curses, or the warnings, we'll say, against not listening to God, but even serving him, maybe out of a feeling of obligation, maybe out of fear of punishment, and not from an inner joy that radiates and infects the person in a very positive way. There are people, Baruch Hashem, who are totally joyous in the performance of mitzvot, and sadly there are people who go through the motions and do not have those same feelings. I would say obviously these are two different kind of things. There are Jews who don't keep mitzvot. There are Jews who do keep mitzvot but don't have this joy which the Torah commands. In fact, it gives me an understanding of the famous statement attributed to Rav Nachman of Breslov of mitzvah gedola liot b'simcha tamid. There's a mitzvah to be joyous all the time. The Torah commands, v'samachta b'chagecha, be joyous on the festivals, be joyous when you are bringing bikurim, but the idea is a further idea of being joyous all the time, and it doesn't mean all the time. There are sad times in our lives, and there are sad times on the Jewish calendar, but it means more than just the obvious times of joy at a wedding or on a festival. It means this constant companion to one's soul, and that is the joy in the opportunity and the performance of mitzvot. It also helps me understand why it is said that prophecy does not come from a person unless he is in a state of joy. Whatever that means, you could come to the monthly Joy Club with Rabbi Zelig Pliskin that we have at the center, and all those kind of things. All right, let's wrap up. We're getting close to the end of the show by the following statement. Parshat Ki Tavo has six of the mitzvot in the Torah, specifically 606, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. 611. Meaning there are only two mitzvot left for Nitzavim, Vayelech, Ha'azinu, Vizot HaBracha, the remaining four sedras of the Torah. We're finished with the list of mitzvot. The last two, which are in Vayelech, are very general kind of mitzvot, sort of summary kind of mitzvot, write a Sefer Torah, and the once-in-seven-year gathering called Hakel. We'll talk about that when the time comes. But following the full presentation of the mitzvot comes this very, very serious warning, extensive warning, which reiterates something which we say every single day. Keep the mitzvot, things will be good. Don't, and we're in trouble. On that note, I will wish you a Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtameah.